Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Run to Daylight Football Funcast with your host, Todd Burrows.
Welcome to the latest installment of the Run to Daylight podcast. I'm Todd Burrows, your host. You can find me on Twitter at Todd from PA. That's Todd with one D, FromPA, Todd from PA on Twitter. If you follow me, I will follow back if you let me know you found me through the Run to Daylight podcast. Last week, I had TJ Hernandez on talking the Scott Fish Bowl, SFB 480. This week, I have the host, or the creator, if you will, of SFB 480 joining me to break down the history of it and whatever we can think of on short notice, because we kind of put it together on short notice. Isn't that true, Scott? Welcome to the show.
That is. Thank you, Todd. Yeah, that is true. I had a few hours this morning to in between while my son was at daycare, actually at school now. He's three, so he's in school, which is really weird for me. But, yeah, short notice, let's have some fun.
So where are you from? What's the 111 area code?
Oh, well, that's because I'm on Skype. I'm using my my blue snowball mic here on Skype on my computer. But I'm from Minnesota. I live in the Twin Cities now.
Oh, cool. I thought, you know, like that might have been like the Martian code or something.
No, not quite. But, yeah, it's a nice day here in Minnesota.
Oh, that's good. I guess you're a lifelong Vikings fan?
That is correct. I was born and raised on the Minnesota-Canadian border, and I've moved around Minnesota a little bit. But, yeah, lifelong Vikings fan. Blair Walsh is my favorite player. I have an authentic jersey of his. He wished me happy birthday on my birthday. So, yeah, big-time Vikings.
Yeah, I always call it the Blair Walsh Project.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Remember the Blair Witch Project?
Yep. I actually used to run a video store. I was running the video store when that movie came out.
Oh, that's interesting. You might have been the last video store in the country.
Yeah, well, I left the video store industry in about 2002 or so. So, yeah, I think they kept around a little bit longer than that. But, yeah, pretty much. Couldn't be weird.
I'm a bit of a wise guy, especially when I don't have a script. So
yeah.
Let's talk about your genesis with fantasy football. How long have you been playing? How old are you? And just kind of lead up and give the people who are listening to the show just a bit of your personal history as it headed towards coming up with the Scott Fish Bowl.
Okay, I can pretty much rapid fire that. I started fantasy football, a dynasty league, in 1992. I am 36 years old, so if you do the math on that, I was probably about 12.
You really were about 12.
Yeah. Yeah, I really was. I was born in 79, and 92 was my first fantasy league, first dynasty league. So, yeah, I was. I was 12, turned 13 that first season. So,
I was older than you are now when I did my first fantasy league. It was 1999.
Oh, wow.
I was born in 62. So, yeah, I always thought fantasy was for losers. And then, you know, an old friend of mine kind of talked me into, you know, we hadn't talked in 20 years, and he had an opening like 3 days before. And, of course, as soon as I did it, I got completely addicted.
Yeah, it is addictive. To finish out the story, I guess, I was I started writing a fantasy football blog-like thing that, like, no one read in the early 2000s, like 2002, 2003, something like that. Then I joined a forum at a site, and I started writing their Start Sick column in, I think, around 2005. In 2007, I opened up my own site, FF Oasis, which is where SFB started. And in 2014, I joined DLF.
You joined what?
DLF, DynastyLeagueFootball.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never played Dynasty. I actually came – when I was a kid, I played Strat-O-Matic football, which was a card and dice game. And anyone my age, that was kind of our video games. There was no, you know, Madden or anything like that. And you would roll the dice and see the result on the cards or on the boards. And I got into kind of an adult version of that hobby where we would build, you know, full teams and use software on the internet to play each other. And that you know, so Dynasty is very similar to that, except that we drafted every player on every team. You know, you needed a play, you know, someone to hold, believe it or not. So I'm familiar with the concepts. I just have never done it. And I guess I'm waiting to be invited to a league with a bunch of heavy hitters. So I'll probably be holding my breath a while.
Oh, you never know. People, Dynasty Leagues start up all the time in this industry, and they're always looking for people. It's something people really love, and Dynasty is really growing. So I don't think you'll be holding your breath as long as you may think.
If you're big and bad and, you know, you've won a bunch of Dynasty Leagues and you write for sites and you want to fish who thinks he knows football, invite me. I'll join. I'll pay. And I'll see if my simulation skills translate over to Dynasty. But I tend not to talk trash. That was about as trash talky as I ever get. But I would like to be invited. And if I'm going to do it, I want a chance to make a reputation and beat some people who have some industry background. And
gotcha.
I don't think that's too evil.
In today's Dynasty landscape, I can see a guy like you winning actually early because the industry has become so youth help heavy that it's become a lot easier to win now, to win in that first year or two than it used to be.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that once I got good at simulation, you know, I won every year, and there were some guys who were constantly rebuilding, right? You know, they're on their 30th year of their rebuilding project. They were always trading for draft choices, and they were always, you know, drafting. And, you know, just because, you know, this was a big discussion between the Evan Silva fantasy douche trade that blew up Twitter a while ago. You know, and I agreed with something Ray Summerlin said, is, you know, and a few other people like Jacob Rickroad, you definitely want to be in contention every year. And there, if you're smart, you should be able to do it because picks have a value that are greater than what they tend to pan out to be. So if you can pick up picks at a value and then trade them right before the draft or during the draft, a lot of times you can make really good trades for yourself.
Yep, Jake and I have talked about that before, that we're both very much win now people. We want to contend every year, and I do in most of my leagues. to switch from Dynasty to redraft, obviously in redraft, like SFP 480, you got to play to win now because there's no carrying over players.
Yeah, one of the things that was frustrating to me in keeper leagues, and that's how I started in fantasy football, and you know, there was a certain kind of, again, where you would, you know, the key is to win every trade, right? Sometimes people will turn down a trade and say, well, this is a pretty fair trade, and I'm thinking to myself, no offense, but I don't want to make a fair trade, right? If I'm not, you know, the first lesson I ever learned in fantasy football, I was reading some expert at the time, and he said, if you're not going to win the trade, why make the trade? And I kind of subscribe to that theory. I mean, sometimes you need an even trade just to keep a relationship going with another owner or to, you know, fill a positional need. But in general, you got to be trying to win every trade.
Yeah, I think a lot of trades can be made that both will win. You want to win every trade, at least win it on your end, I think is the point. But yeah, you can, if you're really weak at wide receiver and strong at running back, you can trade a running back for someone else's wide receiver, and then you both probably win, or at bare minimum, you win your side of the trade for your team.
But if I know a guy needs, and I understand that mentality, and I call it my gravy, okay? And I know we're not really, we'll get into SFB 480 right after that. But this, I think trade theory is a fascinating subject. And so if I know I've got a guy on the hook who needs something, even if I need it also, I'm always going to say, well, throw me a third round pick. And you'd be amazed at how often, even though it's a small thing and most of the time it doesn't lead to much on its own, if I pick up a third-round pick, guys like, all right, sure, yeah, that's not going to change the value of this too much for me. Sure, you can have a third or a fourth-round pick. Well, if I make five trades and I've gotten an extra little bit of gravy on each trade, then I can go to a guy and say, hey, would you like five third-round picks and Joe Smith for John, you know, some stud? And they're like, mm-hmm. You know, they might take it because you're overwhelming them at that point with numbers. So that's just kind of a theory of mine that worked out very well for me in simulation football. And maybe I'll try it one day in Dynasty.
Yeah, maybe if you get in one, yeah, give it a shot.
Yep, it's but you know, that's my theory. Just try and get a little bit of gravy, just a little something. It doesn't have to be a lot, but if you make a lot of trades, it adds up. So how did you come up with the idea for the SFB 480, and how did you get, you know, some of the heavy hitters that ended up being in it in the beginning to join up?
Well, in the beginning, I ran FF Oasis, and I had a writer by the name of Mike Kaus there. And he did a lot of that work creating, getting the league on MFL, talking to MFL and getting that league comped as like a large industry league, just going around talking to different people. Like, I think if you notice, if you look in the trophy room, like Mike Clay played in that first year, and he won.
Yeah, I mentioned that in our pod, that he was the first winner.
Yep. I won. I led that league the entire year, wire to wire, and in the final week, he had a huge week. I didn't, and he won it. But honestly, I don't know how some of those people, I think they were just gracious enough to be like, hey, this sounds like an interesting league and play. Nowadays, I think it's just kind of steamrolled that it feels like this is just a big, fantasy industry event, which is the point of it, to bring the industry together, the big sites, the little sites, the well-known people, the not as well-known people, get them to interact and maybe meet and get to know people you didn't know before, hear podcasts or see sites you didn't know before. I love that aspect of it. It's a community get-together for me. And I think once this person jumps in, this other person sees that, and they're like, hey, I'll play too. That guy's playing, you know, and it just keeps going on. Word of mouth gets these people to say, hey, what the hell? These guys are playing. These are well-known guys. I'll play too. You know, like, I think that might be it. I don't want to speak for some of the amazing people that are playing in this league, but I don't know why they're doing it, but I love that they are.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, first of all, it only takes a couple of those nice guys who also have a reputation to give it a try for everyone else's competitive juices to fill. But I love what you just said about, you know, how you give people like me, for instance, an opportunity. You know, I've only been back kind of in the fantasy world for about a year, and I just started my podcast, and you came and we had tweeted back and forth on different issues, and you gave me a shot. And I mean, that's the type of thing. A lot of times it gets very snobbish, and people like me end up feeling on the outskirts. We would like an opportunity like this. So I really appreciate that you do bring in the lesser knowns as well as the well-knowns and as well as the fans. And I think that's one of the things that's going to keep this having staying power. And I just personally want to thank you for having that mentality.
Well, yeah, I think it's the only mentality to have. I'm glad that you're playing. I'm glad that people who feel like they're less, there are people out there like yourself and many others that, you know, really put in work and do some great things, and they're really trying to do some things in this industry, and they deserve to have a spotlight shown on them. And hopefully this is the kind of thing that I know it's just a league, and people can, at least it's a league where you can tweet one of those bigger name guys and talk about, you guys can discuss your draft, and maybe that person will take notice of you and what you're doing and retweet what you're doing, and you know, some of their followers will find you, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal to be able to support everyone in the community for me.
Yeah, and I thank you for it, and it's a huge point, and I'm glad we talked about it. And I'm thankful to, you know, I start every podcast by saying, if you follow me on Twitter and let me know you listened, I'll follow you back. I'll engage you. You know, do unto others. That's kind of summing up what you're talking about. So the scoring this year, you've kind of updated it, but why don't you just take us through the genesis of the scoring, your thoughts on the scoring, and what you're looking for with the scoring of SFB 480?
Well, when I was at FF Oasis, we only did PPR. We were one of the if you search PPR on Google or IDP on Google, we were on the first page. We were one of the only sites super dedicated to those two things. And so we've always been PPR. But a few years ago, I wrote an article called Let's Evolve, Has PPR Gone Too Far? And it really feels to me that PPR has gone a little too – it's gotten to the point that I decided this year to make a switch. Instead of being full PPR, SFB this year is half PPR. In order to try to counter and make running backs a little more viable, I gave them a quarter point per carry. And
was that this year, first year?
That was actually 2 years ago, it was 0.2. Last year it was a quarter point, and this year is a quarter point. So this is the
gotcha.
Third year of points per carry. And it's super flex, so the quarterbacks are more valuable. And this is the first year that we've given tight ends some weight in the PPR category. They are a full PPR, whereas everyone else is a half. So that's to try to give the tight ends a little more valuable. I do have a statement to make about why I do the scoring and the lineup that way. People don't usually ask specifically why. It's not just to even out the field. You will notice when you draft, and I think a lot of people notice this when they're doing the mocks right now and when they will draft, you're going to come out around 4, 5, 6, 7, and you're going to like what you've done almost no matter what. You are going to look at your team and be like, I have two tight ends. That's fine. It's tight end premium. Or you're going to have two quarterbacks and two running backs or whatever, and you'll say, hey, it's super flex. I got my two quarterbacks. It's points per carry. I got my two running backs. No matter what way you come out of that first, you know, six, seven, half of the draft, you can justify what you've done based on the scoring. You can be happy with the strategy that you've employed. And I think there are a lot of leagues where you can – You come out of halfway through the draft or come out of the draft not happy with the draft. This league, you can actually justify most of your moves based on the scoring.
Well, and, you know, I covered that in detail, and I know you listened, and hopefully others listened to my pod with TJ Hernandez, one of the smartest guys in the industry, where we really broke down
Definitely.
The scoring and some of the niches. And what I love about it, Scott, is that you did put so much thought into it and that there are so many complexities, and that with a big field like this, there's not just one way that you can win. And, it you know, not only are you going to have a good plan, but you're going to have to be flexible with that plan, I think, when the draft starts. Because, and you can talk to this a little bit, but my guess is that each group of 12, you can find some very divergent ways that these drafts go.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at the drafts from last year, I still have the drafts from last year on the 2015 version of the SFB site. They're all so different, so different. I think – I can't remember who tweeted it, and I really wish I could so I can give them credit – You said something along the lines of you're going to have to take stock of how your draft is going and adjust as quick as you possibly can to that because all the drafts are so different. You said something along those lines.
And I think the other thing that is really very important to mention, and we're only going to go for a half hour here, so we're not going to go too deep into any one rabbit hole, but one of the things that really makes it very interesting as well, and where I think you're going to win or lose this league, is not in your first seven picks, but maybe your last seven. Your strategy for the back end of the draft, because there's a 22 players getting off the board for each team, and you're going to not have as, and there's no defense and kickers, you're going to have much less opportunity to change your team up during the season. So how you fill that back end of your roster, I think, is going to be crucial to who wins and who loses in these things.
Yeah, it really does matter. And because of those deep rosters, you will see the free agency waiver wire. It's $100 of blind bidding. You will see a lot of $50, $75, $80, $100 bids in the first week or two because people do not hold on to the money. Deion Lewis and James Jones and guys like that last year went for full budgets. So if you're listening, be prepared for that because the waivers are going to be thin. So you really have to make some really good choices at the end of your draft.
Yep. I think that there's a couple interesting strategies, some of which TJ and I talked about. And, you know, it's funny because the first league I ever joined, my friend's league that I alluded to, he gave a point per carry. And running backs were just so disproportionately, you know, you couldn't, and we had to start four running backs each week. If you didn't have good running backs, you weren't winning that league. And at that time, running back value was so ridiculous. It's gone the other way. We're seeing all these running back committees, and I love that you put the 0.25 in, giving the running backs their due and their importance, and quarterbacks as well. And it's just so interesting, and I agree with you on the waivers as well. I think that, you know, for me, my strategy is definitely going to be to target that one guy. And I guess if you are looking for a Deion Lewis, you could bid your full 100 and not get him. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, if someone else in your league bids the full 100, but they put in that bid before you did, yeah, it could definitely happen.
So how does that work? I haven't even really looked at it. It's not based on, it's based on when it happens. There's not like a weekly bidding. I mean, why don't you just cover for us the waiver process in its entirety for the SFB 480 this year?
Sure. It's waivers run every, I'm almost positive it's Wednesday night around 10 or 11. I think it's 10 my time, so 11 Eastern probably. And you have $100 of blind bidding. Some people call it free agent acquisition budget or FAB. And basically, if there's a tie, the tiebreaker is the earliest one to submit that bid. So if you put 75 on Deion Lewis, obviously this is last year, not this year, and someone else put 75, the person who put in that bid first will get the player.
Interesting. It's not based on total points.
Nope.
So basically, for those of you out there listening from the 480 world, as soon as that Monday night football game is over, we put in your bids.
Yep, exactly. That's that is, I don't know why I set it up that way, but maybe
you wanted to panic all us experts.
Exactly. I think it's mostly because I never liked the rolling waivers, the worst to first waivers in other leagues in the past. I never liked that because I felt you could have one of the best teams and just start out the season poorly, and then you're getting all the best free agents at the beginning. So I just was never a fan of that. So I guess that's probably why I set up the tiebreaker that way.
The other question I wanted to ask you that is fascinating to me, you sent out some tweets early on with kind of what the divisions might look like within the conferences. How do you come up with who plays in what division, and how is it decided? Is it by You know, that, so there's that question, and then a second separate question is it similar? Do you let MyFantasyLeague.com decide once you've given them a group of 12, is it automated who gets what pick?
The who gets what pick is automated. As far as people in divisions, I have this giant Excel spreadsheet, and I completely randomize where people go. I do have a few little things in there to make sure that people aren't in the same division from the same site. Sometimes it slubs, and that happens. Maybe I'll leave a space somewhere, or I'll have football guys be football guys with no space or with a space. Accidents do happen, but for the most part, I parse everyone out so that no one is playing in a division with someone from their site. That helps those teams advance more, and it's, you know, that way, if like there are two football guys in one division, the chances that both of them advance are decreased. I kind of want them to be in separate divisions. And also for the fans, if a fan is a fan of a certain site, or isn't a fan of a certain site, or doesn't care about a certain site, I don't want them to be stuck in a division with three people from that site, you know? So I like to spread it out. It's almost completely random. And then after it's random, I basically ask people if they have any division requests, like anybody they want to play with, or anybody, or any, like all the divisions have teams. If you have a theme, a person, actor, and actress this year that you want to play in that division, then I make that happen. I make some switches. But otherwise, it's pretty random. As for the actual draft, I create one league. I randomize the draft orders, and then I make duplicates of all those. I don't randomize each and every league after that. I just randomize it once. So you'll notice, like, team 24 in the first conference has the same draft pick as team 24 in the third conference. I don't think it matters that much, but it is randomized, and I do it before I invite people, just so people aren't just overloaded with emails.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that was good. That was something I had wondered about and wanted to ask. What division, and we're really down to the last question or two, what division is the most intriguing one to you, and what position would you want to draft in, you know, in your draft?
Okay, so there's been so much – I'll answer the second question first. There's been so much talk about running backs this year, and pushing running backs up the board, that I am such a zagger. I love to zag. So I'm at 6. We'll see what's there. But I'm going to have a hard time probably passing up on one of those top 3 wide receivers if they get to me. If they don't get to me, I'm not a Gronk in the first guy, so I'm not going to do that. It'll be a running back / QB decision if I want to go with a guy like Cam, or if I want to grab a Gurley, Zeke, Bell, even Peterson in this format, David Johnson type of guy. I really don't know what I'm going to go with, but I'm going to have a hard time passing up one of those wide receivers if they do last, just because everyone else seems to be so running back happy. But for this draft, as for the division I like the most, oh gosh, man, I don't know. That's I'm always intrigued to see what happens with Regan Yant's division, because he does a lot.
Whose
of
division? I didn't hear you.
Regan Yant, he's in the Clint Eastwood division. And I think the biggest thing about – he's pretty good about the trash talk online. And he's got – there are some hitters in that league. Jody Smith is in that league. Scott Barrett, Ty Miller. And I'm trying to – John Evans, I think, is in that league. The mailman from Duke and Boy Show is in that league. And then even the fans in that league, Alan Hepworth and Kent Dougal, I know, in that league. There's a lot of really really good guys in that league that I imagine that trash talk is just going to be fun, definitely during the draft.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you making and carving out a little time to be with me. I know you got to go pick up your son. We're all excited. Just tell the fans again, anyone who's listening, what date does this start? And then we will say goodbye.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on, Todd. This is really fun. I wish I had had more time.
We can do this again. We can do something when the draft just first starts and kind of, we put this together in 10 minutes. So if you want to do something sometime, do what you just did. Hit me with a DM and we'll see if we can get on and have some fun.
Perfect, perfect. Well, it starts in 9 days, 23 hours, 29 minutes, and 46 seconds. So basically 10 days from now. It is full for this year. I'm waiting on a few people to make sure they get in there, but it is full. I do have waiting lists of analysts. I have over 1,000 people on the waiting list for fans. So getting in this year, it's probably not going to happen. Feel free to contact me and see, but it's pretty doubtful. But you can sign up for 2017 at scottfishbowl.com. And, that's
Hold on,
that's
I got to go do
it.
That. Hold on, I got to go do that.
Nice. People that play are playing this year. I usually just shove their names into 2017 anyway.
You're more likely to just make it bigger next year.
Well, honestly, this is the first year I think I'm done with that. I think next year is going to be 480.
Gotcha.
99% sure. It was almost too much for me this year. Last year, I knew I had a little extra wiggle room. So I increased it. As far as my personal time, I knew that I could handle a little more. This year, I'm falling behind at every turn. There was one point I was 600.
You might need a co-commish next year.
Exactly. I might need help if I'm going to do this next year. Well, I'm definitely going to do this next year, but I might need help.
Need help, but the psychologist says he'll help me.
Nice. Yeah. So go to scottfishbowl.com. You can sign up for 2017. I will be sending out an email because I do run satellite, best ball satellite leagues to try to get into 2017. Or you can go to fantasycares.net. Make a small donation to Toys for Tots, and I'm going to be running leagues there that have entries for SFB 2017 spots. And one more spot, if you follow at WazNFL, WAZNFL on Twitter, he's running a contest for a 2017 SFB spot already. So if you want to get in next year, check that out. There's another way.
Awesome. I actually do follow Waz, and he follows me, so... Scott, thank you very much. I don't want your son to be not picked up, and maybe we will talk again soon. To everyone else out there, thank you for listening. The SFB 480 is in 10 days. One way or another, I will be doing a podcast or two based on the draft. I'd like to do one after most of the first three rounds are done, and then I think – as the draft goes along, I just want to kind of go through, analyze, and just put as much of a light on this as it can. I will make a donation to Toys for Tots coming up. Scott, I see him doing a lot with that on Twitter. Scott, thank you so much. And we will talk soon. And in the meantime, as is my wont, I will tend to leave with a song. I think that everyone is a very big fan of Rocky, and they get all pumped up for competitions. Here is, from the original Rocky, Gonna Fly Now. Thanks to everyone for listening. This is Gonna Fly Now.